Good morning, everybody. Happy Mother's Day. My name's Joe Underwood, and I'm subbing in today for Pastor Kyle. He is out of town. He went to Virginia with his family to attend the graduation of his son Ethan from Liberty University. So congratulations to Ethan, and they'll be coming back, and Kyle will be here next week. I'm one of the elders here today, and I do want to say Happy Mother's Day and to let you know that in the lobby afterwards, there will be a candy bar for all you moms out there. So make sure you avail yourself of that on the way out. Pick up a treat and enjoy. This is not particularly a Mother's Day message, though. As you'll see, I'm continuing in Pastor Kyle's series on the walk. And we've been into that for a few weeks and a continuation on through the book of Romans. I've titled this Surrender, the Path of Transformation. And I want to start off with a note for note takers, because I'm a note taker myself. But this particular presentation might be just a little frustrating for note takers. It's going to be kind of rapid fire on the charts, and I have to condense things just a little bit here. But first, I want to... to that end, I've printed out, or Bonnie has nicely printed out for you, the sermon notes. And I've included all the scripture references and everything for you. You can pick a copy of that up on the way out. And if you want to save paper and you're signed up in a small group, you'll actually be getting an email that has all the sermon notes in it, along with some questions for your small group this week. So all that. A quick review of where we left off before. We were in Romans. If I can get us to go here. Here we go. All right. We were in Romans chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. Let's take another quick look at this. We're going to hover around this for a while and move forward. Therefore, I exhort you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a sacrifice, alive, holy, and pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. When you see therefore, what do? We want to find out what's it there for. That's right. So this chapter starts off by Paul, and he's been building up all the way from chapter 1 through 11, and Kyle took us through that masterfully over months here. And in chapter 11, just as a review, this is where the Gentiles are being graciously grafted in, an open invitation to you. Most of you probably are non-Jewish. We welcome our Jewish friends, and online also, thank you for attending. But an open door for the Gentiles to come into the good news. Chapter 11. Chapter 12, he says, therefore then. And what he's saying is, it's right, and it's a reasonable service for us to offer ourselves up as a sacrifice, alive and holy. And I look at this sacrifice like this. It's just a hands-up surrender. It's like, oh my goodness, you know, I have nothing to offer. I have no weapons in my hands. This is a surrender. And it's like this. Lord, it's like saying, I will be alive and holy and pleasing to you. I will have an active ministry to your body, the church. That's an amazing thing, that the church he left behind is the body of Christ. And we all need a ministry that we participate in. I don't know what yours is. What is your ministry? So I ask you, if I say, what is your ministry to the body of Christ, the church? Can you answer that? Each one of us should have something. Maybe you're serving in children's ministry, serving on a board, the welcome team, the safety team, serving on a committee. Maybe the committee has ended and you need something else now. Maybe you write letters of encouragement, visit sick and needy. Do you have something? If not, make a note in your bulletin. You need some kind of a ministry. And I would suggest to you, if nothing comes to mind, would you please sign up for children's ministry? Your elders' board recognizes this is an overload for Heather and her family, and we need help. We really do. It would be wonderful if 25 more people signed up today. I know that seems high, but it's not. Look around. If we had more people, there wouldn't be such a burden every week, and we'd be able to do children's ministry in both services. We really need your help. You don't have to be a teacher. You can be an assistant. You can go get copies. You can just encourage. You can welcome the kids. No matter what gift you have, we can have it fit into children's ministry here. So I suggest, if you have a blank sheet of paper there, let's sign up for children's ministry. See us today about that. Is it unreasonable of me to ask you to have an active ministry to the Lord? Well, these scriptures we're looking at says, it's your reasonable service to be alive, holy, and pleasing. And as Kyle showed us in the Word, this is what that's saying is, this is your really your only logical choice. Given all that the Lord has done for you and me, this is your only logical choice. It's your reasonable service. Okay, coming into this, a few weeks ago, Kyle asked me if I would cover for him. And that always makes the weeks fly by. And you really recognize how difficult it is for your pastors to put these together. But I was in the Psalms, I was reading through the Scriptures, and I was in Psalm 90. And I just hovered there for a while because I recognized that it was written by Moses. Unusual. You think of Psalms, you think of David or Asaph or somebody else. This one was written by Moses many, many years before David. And in the middle of this Psalm 90, and remember, you're getting something written from a very close friend of God's, so close that his face would glow when he would come down off the mountain. He says, the days of our lives add up to 70 years or 80 if one is especially strong. But even one's best years are marred by trouble and oppression. Has anybody had any years marred by trouble and oppression? Or am I the only one? No hands. Okay, one person. Well, okay. But even one's best years are marred. Yes, they pass quickly and fly away. Okay, has anybody noticed time really flying over this past? Okay, here we go. We got a few more hands on that. He's got wisdom he's giving us. And this 70 years or 80, is just, this is an average. I don't know if I'm going to live to be 69, 70, 75. You may not live to be 30 or 35. We don't know what's going to happen in our lives. He goes on to say in verse 12, so teach us to consider our mortality, the fact that we are going to die, so that we might live wisely. And this is what we want you to do here today. We want you to be living wisely. Kyle's been preaching about this path. We want to make sure you get on this path. We want you to live wisely as you study the Scriptures. Let's look at this other verse, Romans 12:2, for just a minute. Do not be conformed to this present world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We've talked a lot about that. So that you may test and approve what is the will of God, what is good and well-pleasing and perfect. Okay, a renewed mind will always result in a transformed life. This was a note I had in my Bible from, I think it was from Pastor Blasco, probably 20 or 30 years ago. I have no idea. But I looked at that and I said, you know, there's a lot of wisdom in that. So if that's true, then we could look at transformation to get a proof of whether or not you're renewed. Right? If a renewed mind will always result in a transformed life, then we should see some transformation. And a valid question would be from you, why should we even care? Why do I care, Joe? Well, here's why. Everybody ends up spending eternity in either a real heaven or a real hell. Both of them spoken of by Jesus. Now, amazingly, he spoke a lot more, from what I can see, and I've heard this before, he seems to have spoken a lot more about hell than heaven. I don't have time to get into all the whys of that, but you'll see a little example of that right here. Heaven, he said, he's preparing a dwelling place for each believer in the book of John. Your reward can be great and very long-lasting in the presence of God the Father. And I put some scriptures there, and they're on the notes. He told us several times that our Heavenly Father was in heaven. There's not much more about heaven he told us than this while he was here. Later in the scriptures, more is revealed. But while he was here, this is what he was saying. He talked about hell also. He said it's a place of eternal torment. He said it's unquenchable fire. You can't pour anything on it and put it out. A little bit different, it's eternal fire. It isn't going to burn itself out. Where the flesh-eating worm does not die. That's a horrifying thought. Where people will gnash their teeth in anguish and regret. We see a picture of that when he tells the real story of Lazarus and the rich man. Where there is no return, even to warn loved ones, from the same passage. I did a message on this two times ago, I think, when I preached about that chasm and what an outer darkness hell will be. It's bounded by that chasm that I spoke about over which none may cross from there to us, Jesus said. So it's a place of seclusion. He compared it to Gehenna, which was a trash dump outside the walls of Jerusalem where they would dump all their rubbish and burn it, and maggots abounded. Okay, the Gospel Coalition, this is a little bit of an eye test here, I'm sorry, it's a little small. The Gospel Coalition, back in 2017, they published an article called "The Uncomfortable Subject Jesus Addressed More Than Anyone Else." And in that article, they said, I thought this was particularly good, they said, "The doctrine of hell is uncomfortable for most of us. I'm sure you're uncomfortable having me talk about it here. We don't talk about it a lot here. However, our understanding of hell shapes our view of the gospel, God's holiness, and our depravity. If we don't accept the reality of hell, we won't rightly understand the glory of the gospel. Or to put it another way, if we don't understand the terror which awaits us, we're not going to know that we need a savior." And further, this just really struck me as I was preparing this message. At some point in time, each person here and online was on their way to hell. I know that's true. I know you know that. But I thought more about that. And I put these verses here. I just want to go through these with you real quickly. I'm not going to hit every verse. But Ecclesiastes 7:20 is a very interesting verse. It's back in the Old Testament. It's available to the Jews in that regard. And it's kind of the beginnings of the Romans road to the Jews. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says this: "There's not a righteous person on earth who does what is right and never sins." Doesn't that sound like Romans 3:23? Romans 3:23, of course, part of the Romans road that we have learned. In fact, will you say it with me? "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Many of you have that memorized. That's very good. All. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, "There's not a righteous person on earth." This says, "All have sinned." 6:23a, the first part of that verse says, "For the wages of sin is death." That's a spiritual death. So this is really bad news. And really, that says every single person is on their way to hell. You must be sure to change direction then and get on that path that Kyle's teaching us about. Make sure you're on the path toward heaven. More people are going to end up in hell than in heaven. That's a brash statement. That, as far as I can tell, that's what the Lord is trying to tell us. And it's a sad statement, but I think it's real. Let's take a look at this next slide and focus on the words on this next slide. It's a piece of art. I found this online. I contacted the author. She was very gracious and said we could use it here today. She wrote back right away. This verse, Kyle has touched on this. "Wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." We're going to come back to this picture a couple more times as we go here. Narrow is the road, though, about which Pastor Kyle has been teaching us, that this woman is walking on. Narrow is the road. Few find it. That's a sad statement, but truth. Jesus himself said, the trail narrows, the gate narrows. You know, he says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is a particularly disturbing verse to a lot of people, because a lot of people maybe respect Jesus, but they think there must be other ways. There must be other ways I can come to heaven. Jesus said, no, there's not. It's a very narrow gate. The trail narrows here. So let's take a look again at this picture now. And again, I've blown it up as big as I can. I'll walk you through what I'm trying to show you here. The fact is, you and all humanity were or still are on that broad road to destruction, going out there in the main path straight away. You see how that broad gate has a beautiful white light in it. You can see it right in the gate itself. There's a white light. Satan would like you to think all is beautiful, straight ahead. Keep on going, straight ahead. But look beyond it, above it. Can you see the fires of hell burning back there? it's kind of masked by the pretty white light that everybody's heading towards there. Out in the field, there's a lone person that's headed towards the cross. The cross is representing heaven there. The gate the person has just gone through is representing Jesus. And there's another person that's in the gate. Now look on the main road and you'll see two or three looking at the gate, maybe one or two walking toward the gate. But you see hundreds or thousands passing by the narrow gate. I really think it's a good picture. This woman, Emma, did to depict how humanity passes by and says, no, Jesus, I'll go my own way. I see that little gate over there. I hear what you say, but no, I'm going to go my own way. Or they say there is no hell and they march on towards the light. But how rude is that to imagine? God the Father sends His Son, has Him go through this enormous amount of torture and pain, dies on the cross to forgive us for our sins, and to have me say, no, God, I'm not going to accept that. I'm going to come and show you I've done a lot of good and not so much bad, so that'll be good enough. And this is why your elders and pastors care. That picture is why. And this is why you should care. You should care. You should care and make a decision. You need to get off that broad road to destruction. Today, this message is, we're going to talk about this answer right here. God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. And there's a salvation decision then. We must trust Jesus alone for salvation. We must understand and confess that Jesus is Lord. We must believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Romans 10, 9 and 10. So have you surrendered, hands up surrender, and walked through the narrow gate? Well, we're actually going to go to the scriptures and take a little bit of a look at that with you today. And you're going to score some things about yourself here in a few minutes, just privately. But if you have, then you're on this path of transformation. And verse 2 in Romans 12 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So I said it earlier, is there some evidence of transformation in us due to that renewed mind? Is there something we can measure? Jonathan Edwards was a famous pastor in the 1700s to the colonies here that became the United States. And at one point he wrote this. I thought this was very interesting. As the principal evidence of life is motion. Okay. He in the 1700s, he said, anything that's alive moves. A plant grows. A human moves. Even coral in the sea moves. So as the principal evidence of life is motion, so the principal evidence of saving grace or salvation is holy practice or holy living, something you can point to in your life. Well, we may have come through the gate successfully, and now there are also fragile spirits, I call them, people who wonder, am I really saved? I'm still worried about God's judgment someday. Maybe I didn't trust Jesus well enough. I wonder if I trusted Jesus well enough. So is there any way to measure our renewed mind and transformation? Are there transformations more powerfully that we should see in a person who has trusted Christ and come through the gate, and we will not see those transformations in someone who is lost and on their way to hell? Today, I'm hoping to bring rest and assurance to the souls of those of you who've trusted Christ and you're on your way to heaven, you've entered through the gate. And I really also hope to bring unrest to the souls of those not in Christ. I want to stir you to a decision to trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. Why would I want to bring unrest to you? Again, it's so you turn off that path to the right through the gate, which is Jesus. There was a book written 25 years ago or more, Saved Without a Doubt by John MacArthur. I'm now going to jump into some of the stuff that he had in chapter 5 of that book. This book includes 9 study lessons for groups. It's called Saved Without a Doubt. It's an excellent read. If you find this message interesting or helpful to you, you may want to pick up a copy of that. Deb and I first read it a long time ago. And in chapter 5, John has a chapter there called 11 Tests from an Apostolic Expert. We're not going to hit all 11 of them. But who is our expert? It's the Apostle John. He left tests for us, actually, in the scriptures. I'm going to show them to you. And these tests will let you know for sure, are you on your way to heaven or not? So I'm going to ask you as we go forward to just get a bulletin, have your own scoring system. You're not going to show me or raise hands or anything. But I want you to kind of keep track of this as we go. We're going to try to get through seven of these. I'm going to keep an eye on the clock. We're going to try to move. The first one is fellowship. This is a test. Have you enjoyed fellowship with Christ and the Father? And I make a note here. People who are lost and on their way to hell, they don't even think of having fellowship with Christ and the Father. They just go on about their life. And John tells us that in 3:20. Everyone who does evil deeds hates the light. This is the true light of Christ. And does not come to the light so that their deeds will not be exposed. This is a lost person who... Stan, I'm going to need help again. One more. Thank you. Here is your invitation to fellowship. An invitation, what we have seen and heard, we announce to you too, so you may have fellowship with us, John said. And indeed, John says, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So it's a fellowship, it's an invitation to fellowship. Here's an evidence of being born of God in 1 John. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been fathered by God, and everyone who loves the Father loves the child fathered by Him. And this is back to that question of, do you enjoy fellowship with God and the Father, with God the Father and Jesus His Son? Here's a personal invitation to you that Paul left you in Corinthians. God is faithful by whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You're being called into fellowship. You're being called towards that gate. So here's the questions. Now you can make a little note. This is the first test, fellowship. Have you enjoyed fellowship with Christ and the Father? Just yes or no, or one or zero, or whatever you want to write. Just kind of keep track of this. Have you sensed their presence in your life? Again, it's just a yes or no. Do you notice that you have a love for God and Christ that draws you to them? Remember, an unsaved person really couldn't care less about that. Do you experience joy by talking with the living God? Do you love prayer time? Do you love discovering a new truth to you in His Word? These are all indications, either yes or no, for you. Well, if you've answered yes to those, or to most of those, you've experienced the fellowship of salvation. These tests are kind of interesting because they're sort of written the way John has them, such that if you are yes to one or two or three of these tests, rejoice, because unsaved man won't pass any of these tests, basically. You'll kind of see that as we go. So rejoice. But if you failed this test, make a note about this for our discussion a little later. That was fellowship. This is sensitivity to sin. Are you sensitive to sin? Again, I make a note. People who are lost and on their way to hell, they don't care about sin in their life. They don't think about it. They claim they haven't sinned recently, and some even say they've never sinned. And John has a note about that. He says, if we say we have not sinned, actually this is John writing in 1 John. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him, God, a liar, and His Word is not in us. How can you say that, Joe? Well, just a while ago we said that Jesus Himself said, for all have sinned. So if we say we haven't sinned, then we're saying, oh no, you lied. And that's a dangerous place to be. Here's a couple scriptures about sensitivity to sin. This is your prescription to be cleansed. The blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I know a lot of you have that verse memorized. Here's something when you say, well, you know, I was just tempted beyond what I could bear. No, you weren't. Paul tells us in Corinthians, no temptation has overtaken you that hasn't been faced by others. And God is faithful. He won't let you be tried beyond what you are able to bear. But with the trial, He'll also provide a way out so you can bear up under it or you be able to endure it. Again, relating to sin. Believers will have a heightened awareness of their sin. Do you remember when Kyle was preaching and we were in Romans 7 and Paul said, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death?" Paul had definitely a heightened awareness of his sin at that point. So now, get your score sheets. Are you sensitive to sin? Yes or no? Are you aware of a spiritual battle raging inside you between the light, the true light, and your flesh? Yes or no? Last week's message. Do you realize that you cannot walk in darkness and have fellowship with God? Yes or no? Are you willing to confess sin in your life when you become aware of it? Yes or no? When you sin, do you confess it to your advocate, Jesus? Yes or no? Are you sometimes weary from the burden of sin in your life? Yes or no? And if yes, again, rejoice. You're obviously a Christian. Unsaved man won't have those tendencies, John tells us in those various scriptures. So rejoice in your salvation. If you failed those tests right there, make a note and start to be a little worried if you're going to continue to fail every one of these tests. Just be honest as you score them, because we just want to make sure we get you through the gate and on your way to heaven. This one I'm abbreviating for time. This is number 3, obedience to God's word. I even abbreviated the word abbreviate for you. How's that? So we'll just go right to scoring on this. Are you grateful for all that Jesus Christ has done for you? Yes or no? And does that gratefulness bring a desire in you to obey God's word? In your life, do you see an overall pattern of obedience to God's word? Now, gentle spirits will beat themselves up every time they fail. Even Paul himself fell back into sinful patterns. But don't beat on yourself. Do you see an overall pattern of obedience to God's word and wanting to please the Lord? If yes, you've passed an important test indicating saving faith. So rejoice in your salvation. If not, make another note. Test number 3. Now we go to 4. Rejecting this evil world. People lost and on their way to hell, they don't reject this evil world. Instead, they love it. They can't get enough of it. This evil world consists of immorality, errant philosophies, materialism, false religions, and so forth. John 3:19, the true light has come into this world, Jesus Christ, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. You people are from your father, the devil, Jesus said, and you want to do what your father desires. How harsh. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine hearing Jesus say that to you? Who is in control of this world? We went over this with Pastor Kyle. 1 John 5:19. We know that we are from God if we pass through the gate, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. So the answer to that is, the evil one is in control of this world. But can you still be lured into this world even if you hate it? Romans 7 tells us, yes, yes, we're not going to be perfect until we're with the Lord someday. Paul himself said, "For I don't understand what I am doing. I do not do what I want. Instead, I do what I hate." Romans 7:15. He struggled with this too. What sins are they that take us toward the world? And Kyle went over this last week. In another translation, I might say the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, I think. In the NET, it says, because of all that's in the world, the desire of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, and the arrogance produced by material possessions. It's not from the Father, it's from the world. These are the sins that take us that way. Jesus prayed for his disciples to be kept from the evil one. I know you know this. He prayed to the Father, "I'm not asking you, Father, to take them out of this world, but that you keep them safe from the evil one." So here we go. Number 4. So do you recognize evil in this world and its luring influence on you? Yes or no? Unsaved man really will not recognize that. Do you reject the world's false religions and godless vain living? Do you love God, His truth, His kingdom, and all He stands for? And would you prefer to walk in the light of the Scriptures rather than trying to hide your sins in the darkness? Yes or no? If you answered those majority yes, these are indications of a new life in Christ. You can rejoice in your salvation. If not, you're starting to be in trouble. Four tests down. Number five, do you eagerly await Christ's return? People lost and on their way to hell, they don't eagerly await Christ's return. If they really thought in their heart that He was going to return, they'd need to repent and change something and believe. And they just don't. But Jesus will definitely return. Acts 1:11, two angels speaking to the people looking up as Jesus is ascending into heaven, said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus who's been taken up from you into heaven will come back in the same way you saw Him go into heaven." If two angels speak something to you, you can bet it's going to happen. He's going to return and transform our bodies into conformity with the body of His glory. There's some other verses here. They'll be in your notes. I'm going to skip to some questions here just for time. These verses are really good. You know, it'll help. Knowing that Christ is coming will help clean up our lives, help us to live godly lives. But let's go to the questions. So do you eagerly await Christ's return? Yes or no? Do you believe what the angel said in Acts 1:11 that Jesus is going to return, that He's coming back? Does the knowledge that Jesus will return help you to purify your own life? If so, these are good indications of salvation. You can rejoice in your salvation. If not, make another note, you're having troubles. Another one that I'll abbreviate, do you see a pattern of decreasing sin in your life? Now, gentle spirits, of course you're still going to sin. We all do. Don't beat yourself over this, but do you try to practice righteousness? Unsaved man won't do that at all. So yes or no, do you practice righteousness? Do you see righteous motives, desires, words, and deeds in your life? Even if maybe you would say this, "I'm not all that I ought to be for Jesus, but I'm certainly not what I used to be. I'm improving. I'm on the improving road." That is an indication of a pattern of decreasing sin. And so if you answer those yes, you passed another important test, indicating the presence of saving faith. So rejoice. You have eternal life and you're on that path, gone through the narrow gate. If not, make a note on test six that you may be in trouble. This one is loving other Christians. Do you love other Christians? People lost and on their way to hell do not in general love Christians at all. When I was lost and walking away from the Lord many years ago, I didn't really welcome Christians to knock on our door. I really didn't want to talk to them, pay attention to what they said. If we love other Christians, we've passed out of death and into life. This is such a great verse. I couldn't pass this one up. John says, "We know we've crossed over from death to life because we love our fellow Christians. The one who does not love remains in death." This one is just so straightforward. We should lay down our lives for our other Christians. Christ died for us. We should lay down our life for fellow Christians. And this one, "Everyone will know by this that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." It's a witness to others around us. So we'll jump to the questions here for seven. Do you look for ways to give to other Christians in need? It's a way of showing love. Do you look forward to gathering often with other believers? Yes or no? Have you ever met another Christian and felt an immediate bond with them? Yes or no? Now, thankfully, that one can sometimes happen with unsaved people. They can feel bonded to us through friendships and things. But these are all just indicators. But if so, in general, these are all indications of a new life in Christ. So rejoice in your salvation. And since salvation is firm forever in the Lord, thank Him for this fact. You can relax in His arms. And if not, test seven is another indication that you may be in trouble. So these were just seven of the tests from the Bible. Like I said, there's more. But these few certainly should give you an indication of which road you're traveling on. So just take a look at your notes there. If you scored yourself, how many of them did you pass? You don't need to tell me. And how many of them did you fail? Hopefully those of you at home are doing the same thing. Please don't leave here today without being sure that you've come through the narrow gate and you're on your way to heaven. Between services, I'll be down here. If you want to talk, I would love to talk to you. I have some pamphlets that would help you. I can show you how to be sure you're going to turn through the gate. I know Moses said 70 or 80 years, but like I said, our time might be up today. I just beg you not to leave if you've scored a lot of no's, and come see me. And let's make sure we get you on the path that Kyle's preaching about. He's going to pick back up and continue on from here when he gets back. I mentioned earlier, I've got the sermon notes available for you printed. They'll also be emailed out to you. I just hope that all of you rest in Christ today. Those who are saved, I hope you gain some assurance from some of the tests that we went through. Those of you who are lost and on your way to hell, I hope you'll turn through the gate, come to Christ today, and then I hope you rest in Christ also today. So I want to wish everybody again, all the mothers, a happy Mother's Day. Don't forget your candy bars out in the lobby. And I'll close with the graphic sitting there just to remind you of the terror awaiting. And let's close in a word of prayer. And I just thank you for coming this morning and tuning in online. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time and this privilege to be here. Lord, I pray that I accurately represented your word to these people. I thank you for these tests that John has left us in the scripture, that we can go through them and sort of score ourselves, because in another place he said, I write these things so you can know for sure. And he wants us to know for sure. Lord, you want us to know for sure. I pray you'd weigh heavily on anyone here today or online who's lost, has not turned through the narrow gate, thinks they're coming by some other way or whatever, Lord. I pray you would put a heavy burden on them to come and speak and get it right before they leave here today. I pray the mothers would have a blessed day today. Thank you in your name. Amen. You're dismissed. If you would like to have a pamphlet or chat, come on down and I'll be here. Thank you for coming.